kind of our purpose statement that we have is, you know, Bethel Fellowship exists for the glory of God, by the grace of God, to promote passionate godliness within our members here, that we encourage one another to live for Jesus, not just talk about it, but to really live for Jesus, and then to extend the love of Christ to all those that are within our reach through the power of the Spirit. And so that's part of what we're doing in this sharing, is we're trying to, you know, promote godliness within, extend the love of Christ outside. So some of these ministries are out, some are in. Last week I shared from the 58th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So I focused on kind of labor and work as Christians, that we're not saved to go on vacation. We are saved for a purpose. God has a work for us to do, all of us to do. If you're a Christian, God has a work for us to do. And so with that in mind, I'm going to go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to ask, because you've been sitting for a while, I want you to stand up, grab your Bibles and stand up. We'll read the scriptures together. If you don't have a Bible, you'll want to follow along. There should be some underneath that table back there. There should be some extra Bibles. We're going to read the whole first chapter. It's only 10 verses, so it's not that many. 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord was sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this epistle. Lord, we thank you for this book that we hold in our hands. Lord, for your grace to us. Lord, that we can read of you and learn of you. Lord, we're blessed to study your word, and we thank you that you've given us a mind to understand, an education to read this book. We thank you, Father, and Lord, I ask that you would just speak to us now as we dig into these scriptures. Would you speak to us, Lord? All of our hearts are sometimes in different places, Lord, but you know that, and so come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. We need to hear from you today. Lord, our hearts are open. Lord, we want to be just, Lord, as it were, a bare piece of paper, asking you to write upon our hearts that which you want to speak to us today. Lord, help us to be hearers of the word. Help us to be obedient to that which you speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and have your way, we pray, then we acknowledge we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can be seated. I'm not sure how long we'll be in Thessalonians. I might just be there today, but we might keep coming back to the book of Thessalonians. Thessalonians is the first epistle that Paul wrote. So we can't pay attention to the order that we find him in the New Testament. This was the first epistle he wrote. This was Paul. He probably wrote others, I would guess, but as far as what we have in the Holy Scriptures. This is the first writings of Paul to the church and to us. And what a seedbed there is of Paul's doctrine that God has shown him. Everything that he preaches through Romans or any other epistle, the seedbed we find in this first letter to the Thessalonians. We don't have time today, but if you turn to Acts 17, you would find on Paul's second missionary journey, this time with him as Silas went with him rather than Barnabas. And they went to Thessalonica and preached the gospel for three consecutive Sabbath days. And there God moved and saved a great number of people. And then, of course, the Jews that were upset because they were losing, they had competition in the synagogue for what Paul was saying. The Jews went against him and went looking for Paul. So they hushed and moved Paul out of the city. He ended up in Athens and then Corinth. And he wrote this letter probably from Corinth. It's probably where he wrote it. So anyway, I'm mostly interested in all that I said there is the fact that this is Paul's first letter. It was maybe written in about 54 A.D. When he wrote the letter. And so it's one of his early manuscripts, and yet how full it is, how rich it is of things for us. I want to focus on the third verse. Where it says, remembering or calling to mind, depending which versions you're using, remembering without ceasing. He mentions there's three phrases in there. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. Those are the three phrases that I want us to look at today. They are all regarding the outworking of salvation. Paul writes these things to them, and he's giving them a commendation. He's giving them an encouragement. He's giving them a pat on the back, an attaboy, because this is what I see among you. And it's not so much what Paul sees, but what does God see when he looks in, when he looks in at the church of Bethel Fellowship Church, when Paul writes these things to Thessalonica, to the church there, inspired by the Spirit, he sees certain things that are just natural to them. What things are natural for us in our lives? So this is the challenge, that salvation has a look to it. Salvation has an outworking to it. Just as I read last week, you know, that it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Wow. I mean, what a challenge for us to live close to these scriptures, you know, that we say we believe. Do we believe everything that is in this book? Do you believe that this is the infallible, the inerrant word of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Because there are some scary things in here. Let me read one for you. I told Elana I probably wouldn't read this, but I'm gonna. Let's see. Well, it's kind of startling. It basically says this in verse. Well, you can ask me where it was later, but let each one remain in the same calling that he is called. He's challenging in the seventh chapter of Corinthians. He says, you who are married, live as though you're not married. Wow. Focus on the family is going crazy on that one. You that are married, live as though you're not married. What is he talking about? What is he talking about in that? Do we believe the word of God? What is he talking about? Again, Paul's emphasis, the Spirit's emphasis is on the spreading of the gospel, the building of the kingdom, because it's offset with he who does not care for his family is worse than an unbeliever. So it doesn't mean to be negligent, but it means there is a measure in the sense that men live as though they were not married. Women live as though, wives live as though they didn't have a husband. Husbands live as though they didn't have a wife because there's something more important. And it's the challenge. Wow, what a challenge to read that. That's the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians. Anyway, back here in the book of Thessalonians, it's great. It says here in verse 1, it's written to the church of the Thessalonians. And it's interesting, Paul's heart, just as you think of the heart of Paul, And I'm kind of spreading out here. I'm not going to get through all I wanted to say anyway, so I'm just going to spread out here a little bit. As you read the book of Acts, he was about planting churches. He was about saving individual souls, but with this in view, that from that soul would come other souls, and of those souls would become a body, a church. All the letters are written to churches. And he says then, to the church of the Thessalonians, you're in God. In God. Do you believe that Bethel Fellowship is in God? The church is in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. In God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:20, he says, In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and that I am in you, and you are in me. John 14:20. And here he says, the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is in him. And what if we're in him, how should we act with one another? How should we get along? If we're in him as a church, and if we're not in him, we're not a church. None of us are saved. If only 10 of us are in this room are saved, it's still a church. At least those 10 are a church. Or 5 are a church. Or 50 are a church. Or 100 are a church. Whatever the number is. But we're in God. We're in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. It's in him. It puts such a value on the church, doesn't it? So back to verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and Father. Everything's in his sight. So these three phrases that we read about, they're evidences of the new birth. True salvation will always produce a holy conduct. If I am truly saved, the outworking of it will be a particular type of conduct. And that's what we see in this case. Paul emphasizes among these Thessalonians, what he notices is a work of faith, a labor of love, a patience of hope. This is what he recognizes on them. And the goal of these graces, of all these graces, is that God would be glorified. In John 15, he says, in this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. The fruit is that God would be glorified. God's looking for something in our life. He's looking for so much more than what we can imagine. He's looking for fruit in our life. And he gives us the grace to bear fruit. And in this, he is glorified. These graces, they must work together. Faith is hard. It's just a dead, hard, stony faith if it is not inspired by love. A faith that works by love. Love is anemic and weak and aimless if it does not labor. To say that I love somebody and do nothing is not love. So love that does not labor isn't love at all. And a hope that is frightened and is fearful and is intimidated all the time isn't hope at all. It's not hope. It's just a wish. So these three things all work together. A faith that works, a love that labors, a hope that is patient, and a patient that is hope. And they work with each other and in each other. So the headings that I have then, that faith has its works. Do you have faith? Are you saved? Are you in the faith? If you are, then it's got to come out. It's got to have a work to it. Faith has its work. Do you love? Is the love of God shed abroad in my heart? If it does, it's got to labor on something, or it isn't love. See, the Spirit's so good. It doesn't let us live in deception. It tells us what things are to look like so we can gaze into the mirror of the Scripture and let it and compare ourselves to it. And frequently we will fall short. But this is our desire, is to live like this. Our progression is in that direction. We're growing in that direction, not settling for where I am today, but growing to be like this image that we portray in the Scripture. If I love, if I have love, I must labor. If I have any hope, it's got to be in patience, because we'll see that hope is always linked to an eternal thing. It's almost always linked to that which is coming. So those three things, faith has its work, Love has its labor, and patience has its hope. It is not dreary, oh, I'm just hanging on to the end. It's not that. There's a hope in it. Peter talks about a living hope. He has begotten us again out from among the dead onto a living hope. And we'll look at some of these verses. So the first one is, and this is probably the only one we'll get to, is this work of faith. I want to define faith. So what is faith? You know, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. For by it the elders received a good report. But this faith is he's talking about, or faith could be a religion. Yes, I'm of this faith. You know, I'm Catholic or I'm Lutheran, and that's my faith. It could be that, but it's not that in this case. Nor is it this faith that I talked about. Faith is the substance, although this is the substance. I believe the faith he's talking about is a relationship. Because in the bottom, it's what I relate to, what is alive in me. I have a relationship with God. This is my faith. I'm not worried about losing something I might believe as faith. I would worry about losing my relationship with God. That's the bottom line, my relationship with God. My faith, my labor of faith, the faith that labors, or the faith that works, sorry, it's a relationship. And out of this relationship, something comes out of it. And it's a work. Something comes out of our relationship. So I equate it to faith as a relationship. Does my faith have a work? Does your faith have a work? And again, your faith is your relationship with Jesus Christ in this context. Does your faith have a work? Does it work? Not does it work, but is it working? You know, is it outworking? Is something coming of your life bigger than just the business or the farm or the school or even the family? Is it working? It can come in all those things. It should come in all those things, but it's got to be working. Does my faith work? Does my work have faith? There's the other one. That which I am working, does it have faith? Kevin and Carla labor weekly at the college. They labor and labor. Are you doing it in faith? They're trusting the Lord that they're planting these seeds that God will bring some of them to harvest. Some of them will be grown. We teach in Sunday school or VBS. Are we doing the work by faith? Am I doing anything by faith? Or am I just plodding on week after week after week in the church? Or am I believing God that he's building something? He said, I will build my church. Does my work have faith? Does my work have faith? Does my faith have work? Is it outworking? So those are the two things, the outworking of. They both must happen that way. The work of faith is the work springing out of faith. So the work of faith is something springing out of my life. Something's got to come out of my life. See, God doesn't want us to be deceived. Be not deceived, brothers or sisters. That what a man sows, he shall reap. Whether unto his flesh it'll be corruption, or unto the spirit it will be life and spiritual things. But don't be deceived. We are sowing and there will be a reaping. And so the scriptures are so good in that. The definition of work literally is very simple. It means a business, an employment, that which anyone is occupied with as a job. That's what the work means there. It's just what it means, work, very simple. Jesus had a work to do. In John 17 and verse 4, he said, I have glorified you in earth, or in the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Jesus had a work to do. It was to glorify the Father, to obey everything that he was to do, to live in such a way that he could redeem a people for himself. This was the work. And so he says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work. In that day, and Jesus hangs on the cross and he cries, it is finished. I have finished the work that you've called me to do. I have glorified you. In that day, can we say that? God, you saved me. For this reason, in fact, you gave me breath as an infant. You gave me breath because I had a work of God to do. And can we say on that day, as Jesus said, Father, I have glorified you. How did I glorify you? I finished the work that you gave me to do. Wow, what a challenge. See, true faith has work. True faith has work. Or I don't have faith. I've got whatever, but it isn't true faith, not what the Bible describes as faith. Wherever there is a real faith, there is real work, and it will have an influence on my life. James 2 and verse 18. Let's turn there. We got time to look at a couple scriptures. Familiar scriptures. James 2, verse 18. Verse 17. Thus also faith by itself. See, it's a he's saying there's a contradiction. Faith by itself, that can't be real faith. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. In other words, it's not faith. I can't say I'm faith, that I'm filled with faith, that I live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's not true unless there's evidence of some kind of a work. I can't sit back and do nothing. I can't sit back and be judgmental or saying how things should be, and I wish somebody would go to that house. And I've got to be involved in it. God may be showing you those things so I would do it. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And James says, well, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by my works. So there it is. Faith has works. It's got to have work, or it isn't faith. Do you realize that? It's just self-centeredness. If I say I believe and I'm just so glad I'm saved, and the rest of you, tough luck. You're on your own. Something's wrong with that. And the apostle says, the Spirit says, you can't do that. You've got to have a faith that works. And the Thessalonians, Paul is praising the Thessalonians because they had a faith that was worked out. It was working. It was working so much that throughout all of Macedonia and even in Achaia, they heard of these Thessalonians. How long had they been saved at this point? How old was this church? It was less than a year old. It was less than a year old. Man, they were about the work to do it. They were out there working. Their faith moved them to something. Isn't that something? They were just... it might have been 6 months old, it might have been a year old, but it wasn't an old church at all. Newly born, but by the Spirit of God, they knew what to do, and they were doing it to the point where it had spread throughout their whole province. They knew about these nuts in Thessalonica. Wow, they're on fire for Jesus. They are just turning the world upside down, and that's what they said about Paul. He's turning the whole world upside down. Of course, he wasn't turning the whole world upside down, but their little world he was. And that's what happened in Thessalonica. Notice that what Paul was doing, they said, we're going to do the same thing. Because he tells us, you imitated us. You know? So let's be imitators of those things. In Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The attention, so you know, will come to us, but we've got to reflect the attention back to God. If it wasn't for Christ in me, I would have never done these things. I wouldn't give a hoot about you. But because of the life of Christ in me, I can't help but love you, and I can't help but work and labor for you in faith to do those things. So that's that, the beginning of the heading. It's works and faith. Faith and works. Works are deeds. In Ephesians 2:10, I'll just read it. For we are his workmanship. Wonderful workmanship, a symphony. An artistic, something that God has put together. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. That's why. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God brought us to faith, and he brought us to faith because he's got some works for you and me to do. Whatever that serving might be, you know, and maybe we're doing it to everything that God wants us to do. Maybe I am fulfilling everything that God wants me to do. But am I willing to lay my life before God and say, look in my life, Lord, look at my schedule, look at my priorities. Are they all correct or are some of them off, Lord? Will you adjust this, Lord? I'm willing to adjust these things. So that's who they were. They were men and women who worked. Then works of faith are linked to obedience. In John 14:15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's the outworking of faith is linked to obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wow. How many things does the Lord ask us to do? How many things do we know that we should be doing? And he says, if you love me, you'll do these. You'll do these things if you love me. You'll do them. So there's so many wonderful things here in this in these phrases. Well, it's 11:30. Look at this little phrase. Well, I better not go into it. We better close there. But anyway, I trust you've received a bit of a challenge on the first one there. Okay, as he says that we have a work of faith to be working. God's challenge is that none of us are idle. If you remember the parable where Jesus likens himself to a farmer who came to town to the market where men were idly sitting by, and he employed them to go to work. And he went then at the end of the day and he said, what are you still doing idle here? That's what the word is. What are you doing idle here? I got work for you to do. Go out into the field and give me everything you've got for this last hour, and I'll pay you accordingly. And in other places, he said that the fields are white unto harvest, but where are the laborers? So again, you know, even in a small church, we've got so many opportunities to serve, so many things to do, and at some point, maybe we'd have too much help. Wouldn't that be good? Sherry, say enough. Sorry, I got 22 teachers already for VBS. I only can do it 12, so thanks. But how about next year? Or whatever it might be, you know, or a youth group. You know what? We got more adults here than we got kids. You know, wow, you guys are hard to keep track of. You know, we'll go into teams, you know. Every other Wednesday, I'll take this 8 or something. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Just things to do and how to serve one another and how to love one another. But, you know, in our culture, faith and works are so separated because everything's so self-orientated, isn't it? It's all self-orientated. It's so strange. It's tough. Anyway, I would have loved to have gotten into the labor of love and patience of hope. But if I live, I'll be here next week, and you will too. We'll go into those. All right? Well, let's close in prayer, and then we're going to get ready for our meal together and work together on that. All right? Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, for this opportunity that we've had to gather together. Lord, may we just appreciate that the church is in God the Father and it's in Christ the Son, our Lord, that the church is in you, Lord. And if we're truly saved, we are in you, and we are in you as a people. We just thank you, Lord, for these things. And just speak to each of our hearts. Speak to my heart, Lord, this week on what these things mean then. And thank you then in Jesus' name. Amen.